Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello geeks, this is Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Gusto. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll and benefits to small businesses across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PC Mag. Details on getting 3 months free when you run your first payroll coming up in just a few minutes, or you can check them out now at gusto.com/SGR. You know, we've had a lot of great authors on the show recently, and it always interests me how authors either stand out in an increasingly crowded field or they get lost in all of the noise. Stanetta Anthony is an educator and author of several books, and she's come up with some ideas on how an author can brand herself. Most importantly, she's right here in Chicago, and she joins us right now on Social Geek Radio. Stanetta, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love the look of some of your books and some of the titles and topics that we'll get into in just a few minutes. But first, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story?
Okay, a little bit of my background is I am a former educator. And so I worked in public and private education in and outside of the classroom. Still kind of do some volunteering in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm an author and I'm a mom, grandma, volunteer a lot. And I guess that's about it for me.
I think that sounds like enough. probably more than most could handle at this point.
It can get a little overwhelming sometimes, just a little.
So the book that really jumped out at me when you and I first started chatting was, I think it's your most recent book, a children's book called A Home for Sally. Tell us about Sally.
Okay, well, Sally is a special needs puppy. And Sally's story begins with her being a part of a family. And that particular family, they were no longer able to care for Sally and actually her siblings. But Sally is the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And what they had to do was they had to put Sally and her siblings in a long-term kennel facility that was supposed to be good with promoting adoption. And the person that put Sally and her siblings in the facility thought that her puppies would get adopted fairly easily. And Sally's siblings did because they were healthy. But Sally, because she with special needs and she had the missing left paw, it was a little more challenging for Sally. And so she spent months and months and months and months and months and a very long time waiting to be adopted. And I share Sally's story from her perspective because I believe Sally is just like thousands of others shelter dogs that are waiting to be adopted, and how they feel, what they experience, the glances, maybe the bullying, the self-rejection, and everything that I believe that a shelter dog will feel if they're waiting for a forever home. And one thing that I discovered after post-writing A Home for Sally is that special needs dogs are next to last and going to be second to last of being adopted with older dogs. So a special needs dog may be waiting two times longer to be adopted, if at all, if at all. And so it's very challenging, and I felt like their story needed to be told.
And I think it's a great way to tell the story, too, that we're not always just talking about dogs when it comes to people with special needs who need to be accepted. But it might be easier to talk about it when we're talking about a puppy and maybe not people.
Right. Sometimes it is. And when I go out and I do readings, and especially with children, that topic does come up. That topic does come up, and we talk about special needs. And we get into sometimes that just because you look different from me doesn't mean that we're not the same. We just look different on the outside, but on the inside, we're all the same. We all have emotions. We all have things that we have to face on a daily basis. And so Sally's story can go either way. She goes with the humanity side. I believe she goes with the humanity side as well as with the canine side.
I love that. So did you ever think that you'd be an author at this point?
No, I never. And, let me back up. My backstory is I was actually writing a curriculum for my church. They asked me to write a curriculum for their nursery department. And I wrote a curriculum for the nursery department. And my first book came out of that. And so I never thought about writing a book or anything. And so when I wrote it and I shared it with someone, and they said, that would make a great book. And I said, really? And so here we are about 6 years later. And I'm like, wow, really? So I'm not the traditional where I thought about this all my life. No, I did not. I did not think about it all of my life.
Well, I think that makes the story a little bit more interesting, though. It wasn't like you studied and planned on being an author. You know, you got a little inspiration and some serendipity, and here we are. How do you describe yourself and your personal brand as an author now? Are you focused on branding yourself as a children's author, or are you moving into other areas, or where do you really see yourself fitting in?
Well, you know what? I like to challenge myself because I have done, primarily because I always work with children. That would be my primary focus. But in the last 2 years, I did actually do something that was not for a children's book. It was for an adult book, and it was for African-American women. And I wrote a poem for that. So that actually pulled me out a little bit from children. But my main focus is children because that's my audience, and I like to hear. That's where I feel most comfortable at.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned doing some readings. Are you sort of branding yourself and getting out in front of audience doing readings at local places with audiences, or how does that fit into sort of growing your audience?
Well, I am branding myself as someone who does readings. And so I do go out and do readings in the Chicagoland area. At schools, libraries, and different venues. So I do go out and do that. And so that's one of my main things, is branding myself as not just an author, but someone who can go out and speak and talk to audience about different things.
And I think you were doing something with some animal shelters with the Sally book.
Yeah, I did do a reading at the Anti-Cruelty Society in Chicago. And so I read to their shelter animals. And that was a fun experience because they barked the entire time. And so it was really, so I had to take that as they enjoyed it.
Yes.
I couldn't take it any other way.
Well, they can't clap, so they have to bark, right?
They have to bark. And so that was a fun experience for me. And I guess it was fun for them too. It was fun for them too.
Are you reaching people on social media? Are you talking to readers on Facebook? Is that a part of your branding plan?
It is. And I do that. And I reach out to not just in Chicago, but I reach out to other different organizations outside of Chicago. And so someone reached out to me on Facebook, and my book would be read in Boston at a nice children's hospital and very soon. And it was read in, what was it? I believe in California, if I'm not mistaken, through a shelter program. And they sent me something through Twitter. And I was like, really cool. And so, although I had never reached out to these individuals, but because I have a social media presence, they see my book, and I put my book in nominations for awards, and it's actually in the running now for a book cover.
Oh, great.
My book cover of the month.
Yeah.
And so I am presenting myself and putting me and Sally out there at every opportunity. And sometimes I'm looking at other people of what other people are doing as well. And that it seems to be successful. I'm not copycatting, but I'm like, okay, that looks pretty good. Maybe I should try that too.
No, I think that's okay to copy anyone. I mean, that's all social media is watching who's being successful and replicating what they're doing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We do it every day, I think.
yeah, we do.
Do you find that there are challenges when you're talking about doing something like children's books as opposed to other types of books, or maybe Christian-oriented books or specialty type books that you're doing? Is there a different challenge there than when you're writing something for the mass market?
Well, yes. I with Christian books, because my first book was a Christian book, and I found that interesting. I'm going to say interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to promote it in Chicago public schools, but I was not able to do that. But what I was able to do was I was able to go in and do some presentations at Chicago public schools about so a couple of workshops about what it's like to be an author and things like that. And I did those on parent night. So I was still able to present myself as an author. I just couldn't present my book. And that was okay. And then I got a little pushback from, because I am a Christian, but I got a little pushback from the Christian community, which was a little interesting to me because of the color that I used. And my main character was Jesus. And I looked up different color shades for Jewish people, Jewish individuals. And so it wasn't, I guess, the typical color that I think people wanted it to be. And so, or I got, I already know about that, but I was okay. And I was like, okay, it is what it is.
Yeah. I think we're going to get pushback no matter what. In any group that we're in, there's still going to be inside that same group, there's going to be someone who wants to push back on someone else's ideas.
Right. And so it was, and I had to push myself past that and be like, okay, that's, you know, it's okay. But it, I learned a lot. I learned a lot from that. And like, okay, everyone isn't going to like it. And that's okay.
That's right. Everyone doesn't have to read it. So if you had some advice for some authors who are maybe just starting out, and especially if they're doing something that's maybe Christian material or material for kids, families, you know, anything that's a little bit more of a specialty, What advice would you give them as far as either A, dealing with the pushback that they may give, or I'm sorry, that they may get, and also, you know, getting their brand out there and promoting themselves as an author? Any advice?
Okay. So, two things is that I discovered is you can start branding yourself even before your book is published, before you even start writing it. If you're going to do a specialty, you need to narrow down your audience. That's the biggest thing that I have learned. Because every audience is not the same. Everyone isn't going to read your book. Everyone isn't going to like your book. You need to have a thick skin, I'm going to say, as an author, because, like I said, everyone isn't going to like it. You can't be afraid of a no, because you have to believe that a yes is coming at some point in time. The other thing is you have to set yourself up business-wise, and that was a hard lesson for me. Because I didn't know, no one had taught me, and that was something that I had to learn. And I did a lot of research on that. So you need to know, narrow it down, what am I looking for business-wise? That's the most important thing, incorporating financial part of it, the social media part of it, the how you're going to promote it. What are you going to do? And so as an author, you're not just writing a book. You're presenting yourself to the world as a business person, that I am serious about my work. This is not just a fly-by-night. And be careful with your baby. Your book is your baby. If you don't have a baby, then that book is your baby. Be careful about who you let hold your baby, who you share your baby with, because someone may take your baby and that becomes their idea, and then you're left without a baby. So you need to cover yourself in that area, being very, very cautious. If you're going to engage with maybe self-publishing or something about that, and you're working with other people, make sure that you're writing it. Make sure there's a contractual agreement, because we can say it verbally, but when it's on paper, you know, it's nothing like it. It's nothing like paper. And so that would be some of the things that I would suggest.
Great advice, because I'm sure many, especially young writers, just think, I'll just start writing and I'll write this book and then everyone will love it. And of course it's mine, but I like the idea of taking care of your business and getting everything squared away legally and financially. That's some great advice. We'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment, but quick reminder, this episode of Social Geek is brought to you by Gusto. If you have a business or know someone who does, you probably know that small business owners wear a lot of hats. Some of those hats are great, but some, like filing taxes and running payroll, for example, are not so great. That's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and simple management tools all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes, so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add on health benefits and even 401ks for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way modern small businesses work, but Gusto is. So let them wear one of your many hats. You have better things to do. Social Geek listeners get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/SGR. That's gusto.com/SGR. Stanetta Anthony, in the last couple of minutes we have here today on Social Geek, what's next for you? Do you have another book in the works, or what are you planning right now?
I have another book in the works, so we're working on it now. Haven't released it to the publisher yet, but we're working on it now. So that's what I have in the works. Still promoting A Home for Sally, so she's still in the works.
She's never going to go away.
She's never going to go away. She's never going to go away. So that's what I have in the works right now.
If anyone wants to check out A Home for Sally or your other work, where can we send them?
Okay, well, you can visit my website, which is Skynetta Anthony. SkynettaAnthony.weebly.com, and I'll spell my name out. It's all one word, STENETTAANTHONY.weebly, which is WEEBLY.com. And if you're interested in purchasing A Home for Sally, it is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Ingram, and is available in Apple iTunes.
Oh, excellent. We'll have links to all of those places on socialgeekradio.com just to make it easy for everyone to find it. Skynetta, thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks for the great advice, and good luck on the next big project.
Thank you so much, Jack. I appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.